From the beginning of time, God had a plan. The problem was, and still is, that men have their own plans. Pilate had his plan to keep order in Judea. Caiaphas had his plan to keep power in Jerusalem. The disciples' plan was to rule with Jesus in his kingdom. The people of Judea had no plan. They had only a thirst for their Messiah.
God's plan was that Jesus would travel the countryside with a small group of disciples and a growing assembly of followers. He taught forgiveness, gentleness, and of the coming kingdom of God. Jesus spoke with divine authority, which enraged the religious rulers and teachers.
As the Jewish people began their journey to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, Jesus and his disciples made their way to the city as well. As Jesus approached the city, a very large crowd spread their cloaks and branches from the trees on the road. They began to praise God for the miracles they had witnessed, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
After all the years of toil, now the time for service.
crowds were amazing. No one had ever seen such a reaction. All the fears had faded into the cheers of the people as once and for all, Jesus was recognized as the Messiah, the promised one.
While the people were shouting praises to God, the Pharisees in the crowd said, "Teacher, tell your disciples to stop." Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they stop shouting, the rocks will cry out."
The crowds continued to praise as if their very life depended on it. All their hopes were in this man, Jesus, Messiah.
Oh,
The thunder of praise that ushered Jesus down the palm-lined tree into Jerusalem did not last. Just a few days later, Jesus found himself alone in the moonlit garden, facing the bitter cup of Calvary's cross.
If you want to know someone's heart, observe that person's final journey. With his mission still before him, Jesus stopped his disciples and told them for the third time of his conclusive encounter with the enemy. We are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be turned over to the leading priests and the teachers of the law, and they will say that he must die. They will give the Son of Man to the non-Jewish people to laugh at him and beat him with whips and crucify him. But on the third day, he will be raised to life again.
If these words tell us anything, they tell us that Jesus died on purpose. No surprise, no hesitation, no faltering.
Jesus went willingly to his death, a lamb who struggled with every ounce of his strength just to reach the base of the cross, where his sacrifice would be completed. Blameless, but knowing that blame for every wrong ever committed or that ever would be committed was about to be put on him, and that he would pay the price for all the sins, all the pain man, we, ever created.
Justice demanded that a price be paid, but God paid our price. Since God delivered the Israelites to freedom by using the blood of a lamb, the world waited for God to deliver each person to freedom, again, by the blood of a lamb.
Creator of the universe is being executed. Spit and blood are caked to his cheeks, and his lips are raked and swollen. Thorns rip through his scalp. His lungs scream in pain. Yet death is not ready, and there is no one to save him, for he is sacrificing himself.
Far worse than the breaking of his body is the shredding of his heart. His own countrymen clamored for his death. His own disciples planted the kiss of betrayal. His own friends ran for cover. And now his own father is beginning to turn his back on him, leaving him alone.
Imagine this scene. The soldiers are huddled beneath the cross, their eyes turned downward. The criminal above them forgotten. They gamble for some used clothes, the tunic, the cloak, the sandals are all up for grabs. Each soldier lays his luck on the hard earth, hoping to expand his wardrobe at the expense of the cross-killed carpenter. Here are common soldiers witnessing the world's most uncommon event, and they don't even know it. As far as they're concerned, it's just another Friday morning, and he is just another criminal. Come on, hurry up, it's my turn. All right, this throws for the sandals. Casting lots for the possession of Christ. Heads ducked, eyes downward, cross forgotten.
Thank you. so quick to judge them, yet so slow to see. How their games resemble ones played by you and me. As we fight for position in the Church of God, while the world goes on dying without the Savior's
celebrate. Jesus was out of the way. The soldiers could celebrate, but Mary Magdalene couldn't celebrate. To her, the last few days had brought nothing but tragedy. Mary had been there. She had heard the leaders clamor for Jesus' blood. She had witnessed the Roman whip rip the skin off his back. She had winced as the thorn sliced his brow and wept at the weight of the cross. So in the early morning mist, she arises from her mat, takes her spices and aloes, and leaves her house, past the gate of Cana, and up to the hillside. She anticipates its somber path.
I walked this way with you.
He lives. Christ is risen from the dead. Where, O grave, is your sting? Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall never die, but have eternal life. And this is God's unbreakable promise, that you were bought with an awesome price. God made this wonderful promise for you.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven.
Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Because of what Jesus has done for us, because of his blood shed on the cross and his victory over death, we now have everything. We are totally forgiven, fully loved, and embraced in the arms of his Father's family. We no longer hope someday we'll be good enough to enter the kingdom. We'll never be good enough to enter on our own. But Jesus, our perfect, sinless Savior, so loved us that he gave his own life so that we may approach the throne of grace as God's own children. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are and because of what he has done for us. He took our sin, our shame, our past regret, and our future failure. Now we may run boldly to God as his own children. There is joy on his face and tears in his eyes as he welcomes you. This is what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross.
With your own mouth to other people that Jesus is Lord and believe in your own heart that Jesus has risen from the dead, you will be saved. That's the good news of God's word. That meant everything to the people who knew Christ when he was crucified and then when he rose from the dead. Back in Jesus' day, most people said Caesar is Lord. Today, most people in our own souls by ourselves would say, we are Lord. I am Lord. I am number one. This is how we think. This is how we live. This is the direction we go without Christ. Christ would come, die for us, and rise from the dead so that you and I might say, Jesus is my Lord. When we say that, we're saying he's the most important one beyond all other things in life or all other people in life. You give him the supremacy, his rightful place. God invites us to himself. The choir did an outstanding job with that. They're just about to sing some more. God lets us know, if we do not come to Christ and say, Jesus is my Lord, we reject Christ. If we don't come to Christ, we reject Christ. If we don't follow Christ, we reject Christ. We should know that. He gave his life for us. He certainly deserves a hearing in our souls. The Bible does tell us this, though. Whoever does come to Christ will never be rejected. Never be rejected. And if you turn to Christ and receive him, you will be saved. That's a promise from God himself. So I'm going to have a prayer with you now. If you've never said in any kind of public, straightforward way, Jesus is my Lord, not myself. He's my Lord. And God rose him from the dead for me. God says, you'll be saved. Follow Christ, and he'll help you to do that. We talked at the 8:30 service. All of us think sometimes that being a Christian is way up here. This is Christ's demands, and we're here. And our job is to get better and better and better. A little more prayer, a little more Bible study, a little more church. We say, who needs it? What happens in the gospel? Jesus dies for our sins. He comes down and helps us so we might pray, follow him, walk in his ways, gives us peace with God as a gift. And this is what we want for our souls. I'm going to have a prayer. If you've never asked Christ into your life, this is your moment between God and you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Because publicly, you know, people said, Jesus is my Lord, back in Jesus' day. You could start doing that right here. The preacher said, if you can't do that in church, you definitely won't do that out there. There's no doubt about that. So, if you've never received Christ, think of his love for you. Greatly depicted by the choir and the songs. And might we pray and confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Let's pray together. Father, we pray this prayer on behalf of those who have never received you. Up to this point, they've rejected Jesus. This is something to deal with. And that they might say yes to you, Lord Jesus. Might they pray in their heart, Lord Jesus, I name you as my Lord in my own heart and with my own mouth. And I believe, Lord Jesus, you died in my place and you rose from the dead. Thank you for being my Savior. Help me to follow you and lead me in a joyful, victorious life that you came to give us. Father, I pray that your good Holy Spirit would draw dear people to yourself. Thank you for each one here and the privilege of celebrating Easter with them. Just want to have a prayer, silent prayer for you. You've prayed to have Christ for the first time. You never did that before. You could honestly say, well, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. With his help, I'll follow him. If you've prayed to receive Jesus, never did that before, could you raise your hand up in the air and just say, yeah, that's my message. That's my message that I know I need the Lord in my soul. Jesus loves you. Remember, he gave his life in your place. Receive him, don't reject him. Father, thank you for your dear people here, and continue to receive praises as the choir praises you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Cleansing flow. Now all I know, your word.
that great message. I thought I almost went to heaven there when they were singing that amen. It was fantastic. Just a word of acknowledgement directed and arranged by Vicki Boer. Quite a feat that the Lord helped produce. And all the choir and Shelly Denny, Chris Lachetto, narrator Cindy Barnhart, Jeff Ewing, drama directing Becky Ewing, supporting actors Joan Becky Cox, Andy Blanco. Sound guys, thank you so much. And we're going to... have a happy Easter, and as Billy Graham used to say at the end of all his preaching, don't forget to go to church next week. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with each one of you. Be close to the Lord. He loves you. And meet the choir as they go out there. Thank you, choir, so much. God bless.